Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I think they're a good team. They're deep up front. They have good defense. Obviously, they got good goaltending, but they play the game fast. They're smart. They're a disciplined team. We just know that we're going to have to keep elevating our game to compete and hopefully win the series. But we have a long way to go, and it's going to be a battle. We got to be ready each and every night because we know they're going to bring it.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Young gun Kirby Doc, the Blackhawks made the playoffs on Friday night. Joe Ostrowski with you. Let's bring in our buddy Jay Zawoski on Twitter at Jay Zawoski 670. You hear him on the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, the I'm Fat Podcast. He's the hot mic god. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? Thanks for having me
on, man. Appreciate you joining me. And Jay joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Before we look ahead, let's rewind a little bit to that four-game series against the Oilers. Who was the Hawks MVP in those four games?
Well, it kind of depends on which game you're talking about, right? It's game one was Kubalik, game four was Corey Crawford. But I think if you look at the entire picture of the series, it's hard for me to choose anybody but Jonathan Toews, who had as much of a throwback series as we've seen in some time. He was great on all ends. He was winning faceoffs. He was scoring goals. He was getting assists. He was doing pretty much everything you want your captain to do, especially when you're paying him $10.5 million. He was great. He was the most consistent and best player over the course of the series. And if they're going to have any chance over Vegas, it's going to have to continue.
Did were you kind of surprised, now that you're looking back on it, that the Hawks ended up winning that series? I know it isn't your standard 12 or over a 5, but it still was. Winning that series in four games?
I'm not totally surprised. I think the way they did it was a bit surprising. I know early on in the series, as we predicted, you and I talked before it started, and we talked about how great the Oilers' power play was. But as the series went on, the Hawks were able to slow that down and keep those power play goals out of the net. The Hawks, we've said, were probably even to them at 5-on-5. They were a little bit better than them as the series went on. And I know you can dig deep into some of the numbers and see some things that you don't like. But if you watch the games with your eyes, and that's how sports are viewed typically, the Hawks were the better team at 5-on-5. And to me, that was the big difference. And I think what really showed up in that series is the Oilers' lack of depth. If Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl aren't scoring, no one is scoring for that team. And I know it's two guys on two different lines, and they're incredibly challenging to stop. And you saw it. Like, McDavid, it felt like every time he was on the ice, he was going to make something happen. Most of the time he did. But then when he was off, or Draisaitl was off, there wasn't much going on at all for the Oilers. So their lack of depth up front and their, you know, average defense, the Hawks were better. The Hawks are a deeper team than the Oilers. They're not as star heavy. They don't have the two of the top five players in the league like the Oilers do, but the rest of the roster top to bottom is better. And I think you saw that. You saw guys like Matthew Highmore, a fourth line player, scoring meaningful goals. You know, you saw Drake Kajula's impact in the three games he played. Defenseman like Slater Cuckoo, who most people in Chicago, if you asked 100 people on the street who that is, maybe one or two could tell you, has emerged as a really solid and dependable stay-at-home defenseman with a little bit of an offensive flair. He scored a goal in the series. So, again, it was those depth guys that were the difference to me in the Oilers series. I think if I point to one thing, that's what it was. And I think if you were to ask the Oilers staff and brass over a beer, they'd probably admit to that as well.
This is Joe Ostrowski with Jay Zawalski on Sports Radio 670, The Score. This is not just a four-game, small sample size thing. This goes back years. Can you explain the high scoring early in Hawks games from both teams?
Aside from...
Or do you have a theory?
The Hawks is not having I just think the Hawks' defense isn't very good. You know,
yeah.
The Hawks also.
But sometimes things tighten up like they did on Friday.
I think those are two teams that are sort of playing, when elimination is on the line, and you know the Hawks also did not want to go to a game five, right? They did not want that scenario happening. There's a little bit of nerves, there's a little bit of tension, but when the series is beginning, you know, you're a little more running gun, there's a little more margin for error, and two teams with subpar defenses, two teams with offensive firepower. I think you might have texted me during the series. I said, take the over in every game
yes.
of the series. And I think it came through in all, but I think game five was the only one where six and a half?
I think that was six.
That was the only game of the series that didn't come through.
And after the first period, it looked like it was easy money when they scored three goals in the first period. But I'm asking for my sports betting people because this has been going on for years. They've been making a lot of money. First period overs, it's typically 1.5, or sometimes they'll move it to 2. And Jay, I know people that no matter what, they bet Hawks first period overs in the first half. They'll bet it over 1.5. And then they'll bet it over 2.5, getting like over 2-1. Like, they've been making so much money just blind betting it because you're right, the defense is bad and they do still have some firepower on offense.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Hawks offense, you got Taves, Kane, Saad, guys that can put the puck in the back of the net with frequency, DeBrincat, Doc now is emerging as that kind of a guy too. And then, you know, the porous D, can you get a goal from each team in the first period every game? Yes, absolutely. That's a bet I would run with. And now that you've
first couple minutes,
I might start placing that bet every game and just see what happens over the course of 82 next year. Here's hoping there's a full season, but I sort of like that strategy because bad defense plus powerful offense equals a lot of goals, and it doesn't matter who's scoring them when you're betting. It's just a total. And I think 1.5 goals in the first period is a gimme most games when it's a Blackhawks game.
You got that right. There was one game. There was no scoring in the first 9 minutes. I'm like, what is going on? I'm going to lose this. And then in the next minute, two goals were scored back to back. It's just wild. Happens game after game.
They'll do it for you, I promise.
Jay, I'm sure when you were watching on Saturday afternoon, in your mind, you had an opponent you preferred between the Knights and the Avs. Did it work out in your favor or no by the Hawks drawing the Knights?
Well, you know, at the time, my thought was I think the Knights are a better matchup for the Hawks. But now after really diving into the series, I don't like this. I don't like either of them, honestly. It's sort of flip a coin here. But when I look at the depth of the Golden Knights, when I look at their goaltending tandem, when I look at expectations of them going into the season, I think the Knights might be the best team in the West. I think they are top to bottom stacked. They drive possession on offense. They stifle offense when they're defending. They're just a very complete team. And I think that, if you dive into the numbers a little bit, and the Athletic had a really nice preview today, their conversion rate is really low, so they're generating a ton of chances, but they're not scoring at the rate you would predict them to score at, which means that's probably going to change eventually. You know, you're probably going to get back to at least normal or average, you know, shooting percentage or whatever you want to call it at some point. And when I look at the matchups of dominant offense versus Blackhawks defense, and I will say this, I think the Hawks defense was pretty solid against the Oilers. They did a pretty good job. But they've not faced a team like the Knights that can roll four deep like the Hawks could back in the day. I don't like this matchup at all for the Hawks. I wouldn't like the Colorado one either. But really diving into this thing, this could be a quick series against the Hawks. And look, do I have a horse in a race? Absolutely. If the Hawks keep winning, my podcast keeps getting people listening to it, I've got work, right? So I absolutely want them to win and continue playing. But as I look at this thing, I'm finding it very hard to convince myself that it can happen. Five-game series, sure. Seven-game series, so I'm looking at the odds here. The highest likelihood outcome is Vegas in five.
Yeah.
So it's.
I was considering betting the sweep in at 6-1. I'm kind of with you.
I think they'll get one. I think they've got a Corey Crawford win they don't deserve in them, and maybe it happens early in the series. You know, maybe they catch Vegas off guard a little bit, or Robin Leonard's a little too fired up if he does indeed get the net for the Golden Knights, which is not for sure. It's expected, but it's not for sure just yet. But I don't know if they're going to get swept, but I think five games sounds about right for me. And look, no one expected them to be at this point. They truly don't deserve to be a playoff team. Yes, they beat the Oilers, and it was impressive, and it was fun, and it was awesome, and they played very well and deserve praise for getting there. But now they're up against a legit Stanley Cup contender, and I think we're going to see in short order the difference between legit Stanley Cup contender and 12 seed. I think it's going to show up very clearly when things start on Tuesday night.
Do the Blackhawks have an advantage anywhere?
I like Corey Crawford better than Leonard or Fleury. It's not by a ton, but I think Corey Crawford, if he continues to sort of bounce back, because he got better as the series went on. In game four, he was outstanding. He looked like his old self. So I think Corey Crawford at 90% strength, I would say, is a tick better than Robin Leonard. That's probably the only one I can really convince myself of. just sort of as you look through the matchups and everything, the Hawks just don't match up well with this team. And, they're not household names in Vegas, but they're just stacked. They just got a lot of really good players. Mark Stone is their best player. He is one of the best possession drivers in the league. He's a guy that all these stat wonks absolutely love, and for good reason. But William Karlsson, Max Pacioretty is their leading scorer. It looks like he's ready to go. And then you look at their defense of Nate Schmidt, Braden McNabb. It's a really good top pair. Shea Theodore is awesome. It's just a really solid stacked team. And while they don't have the McDavids or Draisaitls, they've got, 9, 10, 11 forwards that you can really depend on. So it's going to be a battle for the Blackhawks. This is going to be a really tough series for them to win or really even compete in.
Do the times make sense to you? I know you're probably mad tomorrow, 9:30. Well, you go from game one, 9:30, to game two on Thursday at 4:30, then you're prime time on Saturday. Are they just trying to give everybody a shot at the prime spots? I didn't really understand it. Vegas is one of the more popular teams in the NHL now.
Yeah, when I saw that game one was at 9:30, I just expected that to be the whole series, right? I thought it was just going to be, Vegas is out west, so they're going to get those later games. I'm pleasantly surprised that they're not all going to be super late. But, yeah, I can't say it makes a ton of sense. Maybe they're just sort of, throwing a bone to the Chicago market, and maybe they saw in the first round that Chicago ratings were not as high as they expected or hoped. And that's legit. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in this team, didn't believe in them going into the series against the Oilers. A lot of people probably didn't even know it was happening until it was happening. And those late night games, even, people that I know love sports were like, it's 11:30. I'm going to bed. It's a tough investment. So maybe the league saw that and just sort of decided we got to put Chicago in some better time slots if we want to capitalize on why we put them here in the first place. Let's be honest. There's a reason Chicago and Montreal as a 12 seeds snuck in to the qualifying round. They both won, though. So I guess, all the doubters can go to hell. But that was clearly the reason that number 12 was chosen, because you had Chicago and Montreal markets looking for a way in.
Yeah. I know it's the world we live in right now, but when they finally start tomorrow at 9:30, I'm going to be kind of sad, because how fun would it be, even if it was just a short series, to watch this series go back and forth with the atmospheres in Vegas and at the United Center?
Yeah, we get to watch the night battle before the game, or the night stab somebody.
So Vegas. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah. It is very Vegas. It is Vegas. Yes, it's a show. I always think of the last time I was there, we stayed at Treasure Island, and they have like this pirate show, and it's just full of like puns and awful jokes, and one of the female pirates is like, "Who are you calling ahoy?" And just the entire crowd just like groaned audibly at the same time. Oh yeah, Vegas cheese. It's there for you if you want it. There's no doubt.
That's fine. Yeah, no. But hey, I do kind of look at this series the same way as you, that it, just getting an extra week of hockey right now, it is a present not many of us were expecting.
It's awesome. And I'm going to try to tell listeners this. I'm going to try to tell myself this at the same time. Like, everything that happens from here on out is gravy. Yeah. Don't set your expectations too high. Don't get mad. Don't call for people's jobs. The Hawks have no business being in this series. And if they play that way, it shouldn't come as a surprise. Now, please, Joe, remind me of this halfway through the first game when I'm tearing my hair out and swearing at my TV and, you know, doing post games angrily. Remind me of that. But I want Hawks fans to keep in mind, like, this is something that they had not really earned. And hell yeah, they earned their way in after beating Edmonton and you know, four games, which is great. But I don't know. It's going to be tough for me to get overly pissed about anything that happens in this series, short of taking stupid penalties or two men in the ice violations that are preventable. Those things that are preventable drive me crazy always, especially when you're so overmatched. And that's, you know, when it happened in the Oilers series, a too many men thing, I'm like, come on. Like, all we talked about this entire build up to this game for the last 3 months or whatever it's been has been stay out of the box, and right away they take a bad penalty. That's the stuff that drives me crazy. But when you start to see the Golden Knights look like the Globetrotters, it's going to happen. It's going to happen a lot. And just remember that it was your team doing that to other teams not that long ago.
Jay Zawoski, you're on like 86 different platforms. So you just referenced the post game. I don't even know which post game because you've got a few different post games. So why don't you promote it?
Yeah, so we've been doing, James Naveau and I, my partner on the Madhouse podcast, have been doing Hot Mic post game shows. And if you don't know what Hot Mic is, it's an app you download on your phone. Just go to your App Store, your iPhone, or your Droid, whatever. Download Hot Mic, and then it'll ask you for a sign up code. That sign up code is Madhouse. Then as soon as the game ends, James and I do the podcast live with interaction with the crowd. They can watch us do the podcast. James is at home. I'm at home, but we have a split screen. You can watch us do the podcast. You can submit questions throughout, and we answer them in real time during the show. And then once it's over, I download the file, save it as audio, and post that as the podcast for the next day. So it's been great. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. I'm really looking forward to after Tuesday having some more reasonable times, because basically we've been coming on at like, you know, 12:15 in the morning to do these post-game shows, and we're still having, you know, a couple hundred people jump on, which is amazing. So hopefully with some of these earlier start times, we'll be able to do some hot mics with a bigger audience, and that's really the key. So if you're interested in that, it's really cool. Download the Hot Mic app, HOTMIC, and then enter that promo code Madhouse. We're also doing one. Rick and I are going to do a live I'm Fat podcast on Monday, a week from today. So if you want to watch us do a live I'm Fat podcast, same deal. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wait, is there some event going on? Are you
tasting? We might. I might just have a couple pizzas in front of me to see how it goes. But yeah, so Hot Mic, because the way Hot Mic typically works is you watch a game along with people and you sort of comment on the game. But with James and I not being able to be in the same location, worrying about syncing up our TVs and all that stuff, it's not going to create a quality atmosphere for our audience. So now they just have the opportunity to do live podcasts that are not tied to events, and it's great. So as soon as the game ends, I hit the go live button, and there we are, you know, and you'll get notified on your phone when we go live once you sign up and follow the account, and it's great. And people have really liked it. And it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing them. It's cool to see your audience there in real time. You know, like when you do a podcast, you're kind of, okay, well, what were the numbers on that one? Okay, well, what do those numbers mean? What does it indicate? This way I'm seeing people react to what I'm saying. That's pretty cool. That's a unique thing.
They can interact, right?
Yeah, there's a little chat screen there.
That's awesome.
And it just kind of flies through like a text stream or whatever. And people ask questions. There's also a tip jar on there, which is really nice. So if people want to throw a couple bucks at us for doing it, it's a nice way for us to make a little extra money, doing these things and getting ourselves out there to potentially a different audience. So it's been really great. We really like doing it, and we'll continue to do it as the playoffs go on. Hopefully.
And I can't.
Probably not, but for a couple more rounds.
yeah, at least 4 more days. And I can confirm tomorrow's total goals is at 6, and they went back to 1.5 for the first period.
Yeah, I might take the under overall, but I think the 1.5 in the first is a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at like a 4-1 final. What's that?
Okay, you can go to bed after the first period if you want.
No, I can't. I gotta do my hot mic.
No, I'm talking to the people out there.
Oh, the people. Okay.
Yes.
No, stay up.
Not you.
Set an alarm for hot mic.
Jed Hoyer tomorrow at 9, right?
Yeah, Jed Hoyer at 9. We'll talk to Charlie Romeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago at 11. He'll do a Hawks replay and surprises, a.k.a. I don't have the rest of the show booked.
Dot, dot, dot. Thanks, Jay Zawoski.
All right, thanks for having me on, Joe. Appreciate it.
That's Jay Zawoski. Check out the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast and that cool thing he's doing tomorrow right after the game. If you're looking for a post-game show, Jay will be there for you online. Digital media, it's a something. Julio Raseo, you're gonna lay it?
I think you're going to lay
minus 150 for the 1.5. But it feels – I hate saying a gift. I'm never going to say a lock on anything in sports betting, but – It's an intriguing decision that at one time last series they went to 2 and now they're back to 1.5 with this sad group of Hawks defensive players.
At one point last season, wasn't around 60 or 70% the over 1.5s were hitting in the first period. I was doing line shopping.
Why aren't they doing 2? Why aren't they doing 2? 2 for every period. It's right.
Yeah, I agree. Minus 155 for the over 1.5 at both the local books here in town and in Indiana. Yeah. 6.5 the total at even money. FanDuel with the even money and DraftKings with 6.5 at even. Series prices depends on where you shop. Hawks are plus 290 at Vegas at William Hill. You've got plus 255 at DraftKings in East St. Louis and Indiana's FanDuel Hawks at plus 245. So around $3 if you want the Vegas Golden Knights.
I'm gonna do a series parlay. The bunch of the series.
Which teams? Vegas?
I've got some circled. Vegas will be in it.
Yeah, I've set aside a little bit of my bankroll just for the over 1.5 first period, Joe. Let's try to rank it up a little bit.
Okay. Thank you very much for checking in, Julio Raseo. We also thank Jay Zawoski for jumping on this evening on Sports Radio 670, The Score. College football, a huge story today. And now at the end of the day, we kind of shrug our shoulders. We don't know where we stand. We don't know if there's going to be Big Ten college football. Nothing's been announced. Maybe just a delay. We don't know. Reality, we know. We know, but the conference doesn't seem to want to upset some schools right now. We'll hear from the Nebraska head coach. Nebraska, a dissenting vote, according to some reports. I don't know if that's the truth, but their head coach spoke out strongly today. We'll hear that next. Joe Osho, 670, The Score in the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Story of the evening impacts both the Cubs and the White Sox. And Mike Clevinger was set to be the Tribe starter tomorrow against the Cubs, facing off against John Lester. That's not going to happen. Clevinger went out with Plesac when the team was in town playing the White Sox this weekend. The Indians found out today, said, no, no, no. You're not pitching tomorrow. It's time for quarantine. What's wrong with you? Basically what they said. This is high drama, and it's not going to stop. Here's Bob Nightingale. Major League Baseball began employing security guards at team hotels to make sure no one violated safety and health protocols. They got their money's worth in Chicago with Cleveland starters Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac both getting caught leaving the hotel. They are both being quarantined. Well, Bob, were they caught leaving the hotel? Because if they were caught leaving the hotel, they wouldn't have gone out, right? Somebody would have stopped them if they were caught. I don't know how they were caught. Maybe they were just ratted out. Listen to this. Julio Roseo producing tonight. Julio, listen to Heyman's tweet here. John Heyman, a regular here on 670 The Score. Here, Indian starter Mike Clevinger sat through a team meeting yesterday and defended Zach Plesac, knowing he'd been out with Plesac, then flew back with the team. Now the Indians discover Clevinger was out with Plesac, and so they have appropriately quarantined Clevinger.
He knew! He had evidence! You stupid idiot!
Not a great poker player is one Clevinger. He would get kicked off the island for lying. Would not win Big Brother. I know that. I saw that back. Wife's watching it. No interest. I gave up on that show and in such a commitment. Get out of here. I know it's All Stars. Herb Lawrence very excited about it. I'm out. I've been out. I'm not going back in. Even though nothing's being created, there's still a lot of movies I got to watch. So many hot takes on Uncut Gems. So I tried to watch it last night on Netflix. I watched the first 5 minutes. I said, nah, not today. I'm not feeling it. Maybe another day. Too many people I trust have said that is the worst movie they've ever seen. But then I also hear people say, oh, it was really good. So I don't know what to think. Julio, have you seen Uncut Gems?
I have not. I haven't carved out the time.
It's amazing. I'm kind of surprised. I know it's about sports betting, so people are probably shocked that I haven't watched it yet. But I've heard so many people tell me how awful it was that I've never really had a desire. I know it's over a couple of hours. I'm like, yeah, do I really want to commit to this? I'm going to watch it. I just got to be in the right mood. Then after the first 5 minutes, I was like, what is this? Nah, I'm good. I'll watch a couple episodes on Jeffrey Epstein. So that's what I did instead.
You're kind of persuading me not to watch the movie, Joe.
Well, do what you want. You don't see it? You don't see people talking about how awful it was?
Oh, I've seen it, which has led me...
Isn't every Adam Sandler movie awful?
Correct. I mainly wanted to see it just to see Francesa as a bookie, but that was really...
Oh, he's in it?
Oh, yeah. There's a nice scene with him and Adam Sandler. Sandler's going over his player props he wanted to lay down.
Oh, yeah. I heard a lot of bettors were mad because didn't he bet a lot of money on props, which you can't even do, which isn't even possible? Okay, fine. It's a movie. That won't bother me a lot. But yeah, I know a lot of sports bettors or bookmakers that say it's so terrible because it's unrealistic. Yeah, it's a movie. That's kind of what it is. Yeah, for people that are against sports betting, they think that you can control the over and under on the points because you can bet millions. No, you can't bet millions of props. A lot of books cap those at a couple hundred bucks, so it isn't even worth it. Anyways, where was I? Yeah, Clevinger. He's in a team meeting defending Plesac because he was out with him. Didn't say anything. Flies back with the team. And then the Indians find out today. How mad are they? Terry Francona is as nice of a guy in the game or just sports in general or in the world as they come. How mad was he today when he found that out?
Could you imagine the last year or so for Tito Francona? He had the incident in Kansas City last season with Trevor Bauer erupting,
right,
throwing a ball in the center field middle of a game.
Yeah.
He has
this situation
with Plesac and now Clevinger after a team meeting.
What's wrong with that starting staff, man? They are supremely talented, but what is wrong with them? Yeah, that's a good point, Julio. You can't put that one on Tito. Woo! I'd be so ticked off. I mean, they have what it takes if they can just stay healthy with that rotation to win it. But come on, man. Get it together. Got to be available. care about your team or just going out for a couple hours? I guess they care about going out. That's what they showed. All right, I promised you some college football. So it's so strange. We wake up today and we hear, okay, there's not going to be Big Ten football this fall. They're going to cancel fall sports. And that announcement never came. Never did. There were reports from the Dan Patrick Show and Detroit Free Press canceled fall sports. It was a 12-2 vote. The dissenting votes were Nebraska and Iowa. Did that happen? I don't know. What we do know, MAC canceled fall sports. The Mountain West did the same. They made that official today. No Power 5 school has officially. Here's Scott Frost, the Nebraska head coach, earlier today. Remember, Nebraska wants to play. And so what did they record? It was a statement. It wasn't a press conference, right, Julio?
Correct.
Okay, so is Frost just making a statement talking about where Nebraska stands? Take a listen to Frost.
There's a lot of speculation, a lot of things swirling right now with what's going to happen. I wish I had all the answers. I don't. I have a group of players that I love, every single one of them. I ask them to fight for us all the time, to fight on the football field all the time. I think sometimes the head coach's responsibility is to fight for what they want too. Our football players want to play. The coaches want to coach. We want to play football this year at the University of Nebraska. You know, from the beginning of this, we've respected the virus, leaned on the help of the medical experts that we've had access to, a great partnership with UNMC and people that know a lot about this. We've leaned on their expertise, leaned on their guidance. Our players feel safe. They feel taken care of, and they want to play. We feel, and I feel 100% certain, that the safest place for our players in regards to coronavirus is right here, where there's structure, where there's testing, where there's medical supervision, where they have motivation to make smart decisions to stay away from the virus, because if they don't, they're going to lose what they love and lose their opportunity to play football. If we cancel football tomorrow, we're throwing up a white flag and saying this can't be done. And if that's the decision that's made, we'll certainly abide by it. But let's think about our players and their health and well-being for a minute. Do we keep them here? Do we send them home? Where do they go? What do they do? What do I do with them? The virus is going to be here whether we play football or not, and our kids are going to have an opportunity to contract the virus whether we're playing football or not. I think what's kind of being missed in a lot of these conversations is what the world looks like, what universities look like, and what the lives of our kids look like if we don't play football. And I haven't heard a lot of people talk about that, but what does the world look like without football? You know, a lot of people around the country are going to point to the fact that all these decisions are going to be financial. Let's skip past that for a second. Let's skip past the fact that the University of Nebraska Athletic Department will lose $80 to $120 million if we don't play football. The city of Lincoln will lose upwards of $300 million if we don't play football, and the state of Nebraska will lose hundreds of millions of dollars if we don't play football. Let's skip past the fact that a lot of people are going to be laid off, furloughs, lose jobs, and their kids aren't going to be able to have the same things that they have right now while their mom and dad are working. Let's skip past the fact that a lot of schools are going to have to drop sports and some sports may never exist again. Let's take the financial piece completely out of it. We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options. If I took a straw poll of our team and asked them when they could play, you give us about a week and I think we're ready to play football.
Scott Frost, Nebraska head coach, earlier today. You know, he kept saying, let's forget, let's skip past $80 to $120 million for Nebraska, lost jobs. So he kept bringing up the money aspects. Let's get past it. Let's forget it. Why do you keep bringing it up if you want to skip past it and forget it? Because that was the basis of your argument there about the money. And how it's going to hurt things financially. And he's right. But just let's stop with the skip past and let's forget. I mean, he's right. That's going to be part of this. And it was good that he mentioned we're talking $80 to $120 million. Be real about this. Why are they playing sports right now? All of them. It's all because of money. We know that. We're all aware of that. No matter what happens with the Marlins again or the Cardinals or any other baseball team, they're going to try and play as much of this season as they possibly can. There's no consideration right now. None to end the baseball season. When the Cardinals are going to play again, I don't know. Haven't played in a couple weeks. Maybe they'll play on Friday against the White Sox when they're in town for 6 days. Great. Yeah, let's bring them into our city. They're going to be here for 6 days. 3 games against the Sox, 3 games against the Cubs. They haven't played on Friday. Nobody knows right now. Because every day you find out about another postponement. The latest one today was on Thursday. They had a doubleheader scheduled against the Tigers. That was postponed today. Maybe you should stop saying, let's skip ahead and let's ignore the fact, or however he put it. Because that was the basis of his argument. Where we sit here on this Monday evening, we don't know what's happening with the Big Ten. It certainly seemed like people in the offices over there was a lot of scrambling, because there were national reports that the fall sports in the Big Ten was canceled. Then all of a sudden that changed. Then you had the Big Ten coaches getting their word out. They clearly want to play. No shock. A college football coach wants to play football. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think any of us are expecting to see a Big Ten game this fall. But are you going to delay it? Or are you just going to outright cancel it? Now, if you delay it, if you push everything back, how's that going to work? Are you going to start next college football season, assuming there's a vaccine? Are you going to start that season on time? The kids that are leaving school, going to the pros, are they going to play a football season in the spring, get drafted right after the year or as the season's ending? I guess right after, you'd push the draft back a little bit. I don't know with spring football what that means, how long the schedule would go. Is it just conference games? Whatever. So then they go to the NFL, and then they're in training camp in the summer? So you're going to play a college football season in the spring, then a professional football season against the best athletes in the world at the NFL level in that fall, and go to camp that summer? I don't know how all that's going to work. But they don't want to cancel fall sports. Maybe they'll delay it. And that's what Kirk Herbstreit was tweeting this afternoon. There's all this chatter about the Big Ten canceling fall sports. He's like, no. They're looking to delay it. Delay it. And that's what all these Power Five conferences with hundreds of millions of dollars on the line are going to do. They're going to delay it as long as they possibly can. Delay any kind of a decision. This is Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score. Coming up next, I want to bring you a few minutes of John Heyman. We've talked a lot about what they're going to do with the Cardinals, who now have to play 55 games in 45 days, and all of us are aware that that is not going to happen. But is Major League Baseball considering stopping the season? Get to that next. This is 670 The Score on the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670 The Score. If you're not watching the Sox game, you're not missing a damn thing. They're losing to the Tigers 2-0. With Keuchel on the mound in the sixth inning. Here till 10, Sports Radio 670, The Score. 9 o'clock hour, we've got Score Rewind. Some great stuff coming your way you may have missed earlier today on Sports Radio 670, The Score. And speaking of earlier today, how about Radio.com MLB insider John Heyman? He's been all over this Indian story. By the way, Clevinger not starting tomorrow against the Cubs because he was partying with Zach Plesac this weekend in Chicago. So he's going into quarantine. But Heyman was on this morning talking about this Cardinals situation. They've played 5 games. They've had 15 games postponed. They want to get 60 in. We're talking about 55 games in 45 days. And we know there's going to be more issues moving forward. Here's Heyman with Mullion Haw discussing if Major League Baseball has even considered ending the season due to issues with the Marlins and now the Cardinals?
Yeah, I wouldn't say no matter what. Obviously we've had two outbreaks with two teams. St. Louis really struggling now, and they probably will have to miss this whole week. They've only canceled the one series so far, but if they do, that's 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks gone from the schedule. They're not going to get close to 60 games. And it's certainly a concern. They've got 10 players and I believe 9 staff members with the virus. And you've got, obviously, Miami with 18 guys. The other 28 teams have done well, but it's certainly very concerning what's gone on to this point. I don't think baseball can afford too many more outbreaks. I don't know the number. They'll decide when it happens, but there is a point they'll reach where they'll have to call it off. But I don't think we're, from everything I hear, I don't think we're close. I don't know if they're going to tell me when we're close, but I don't think we're close yet.
Is it conceivable, John, has it been discussed that one team or two, I mean, the Marlins went through this, now the Cardinals would forfeit their games if they cannot play, would be kind of, Can you do that? Can you contract one team from the equation? I don't know if that's really feasible, but boy, if you go 2 weeks between games and you don't even get to 50 games in your season, you wonder about the legitimacy of where they would be in the standings and what their season would represent.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if a team's playing 40 and the others are playing 60, I do think they'll probably go by percentage, but what if the Cardinals – barely sneak in at 20-20 and then win the World Series. That would be a disaster. I don't think they are sure yet. They're still hoping to try to get close to 60. I don't see how the Cardinals can get to 60. I don't think they're going to extend the season for the Cardinals. You can't play doubleheaders every game, certainly not with a team that's already been depleted. So, it's a quandary. There's no question about it.
That's John Heyman with Mullion Hall this morning, Sports Radio 670, The Score. They have to have a plan in place. We may not know about it, but they have to have a plan. And he's right. There's no way they're getting 60 games in. So what are you going to do? I know Parkins was talking about it this afternoon. Well, what if you can get 80% in? Would that be enough? Nothing really matters this year anyways. 80% would be playing 48 games. Can you get 48 games in 45 days? Yeah, you could do that. And what if the Cardinals make the playoffs? Everybody's in. Say in those 48 games, they go, it's so silly. Julio, in the regular season, the Cardinals went 24-24. They made the playoffs, then they won the World Series. How are you looking at that season? How are you looking at it now?
A complete failure.
Oh. 40, 45, 48 game regular season. 75%, that's 45 games.
Honestly, the best thing to do, Joe, is just eliminate them from playoff contention altogether.
You've got to. I mean, you're a soccer guy. I'm not. Tell me, is that how they handle it? If you have to eliminate teams, if there's a threshold they don't meet, I don't have a problem with it. Get out, Cardinals.
Absolutely.
Get out.
Yeah, let's.
Now, the greatest fans in the world would be very upset about it, but too bad.
Yeah, we need promotion. We need relegation. That would save many of the sports here in the country, and I would be just fine relegating the Cardinals.
Ooh, they would be mad about that. They would be mad. You have 15 games that have been postponed, and you've played 5. What is it? It's August 10th. You've played 5 games. Maybe you're going to play on Friday here in Chicago. Maybe that's the next game. Cardinals and the White Sox, then they get the Cubs a week from now. Maybe. But we keep talking about the next Cardinals game, and they keep postponing games. And today we find out they postponed the doubleheader on Thursday. They're not even forcing that to get 2 games in. Doesn't that seem like they're kind of setting up to relegate the Cardinals? Maybe not for life, but for this one season? Oh, Ronji's going to be upset. He is. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, including A-Rod. If you missed any of A-Rod last night. And I'm going to defend him on one thing. Oh, did he catch some flack? the last 24 hours. But I will defend him on one thing. Get to that next. Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score and the radio.com app.
Russell Addison.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.